Turn in the Word of God to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. The text for the sermon will be verses 12 through 14. This is God's word to us this morning, Philippians 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So far we read God's word. Let us pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, we pray now for thy blessing upon thy word as it is preached. And we pray that thou wilt open our hearts, such that thy word finds ready entrance into our hearts, so that we believe the truth as it is preached this morning, and so that we are built up by it and strengthened to run the race thou hast set before us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, the text that we will consider is verses 12 through 14. I'll read that again right now, 12 through 14 of Philippians 3. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, how is your race going right now? As we stand here this morning at the beginning of another year, each one of us as a believer is in the middle of the Christian race of faith. And the beginning of another year is a good opportunity to reflect upon from the Word of God how that race is going. Picture in your mind someone running a long marathon, and as they are in the middle of that race, someone comes up alongside of them and asks them questions about the race that they are in the middle of. How is it going for you? How is the legs? How are the heart and lungs? Do you know where you're going? Do you have your eyes set on the end? Are you taking the proper perspective as you are running the race? That's what we do this morning with respect to the spiritual race of faith. The Word of God this morning teaches us that in the running of our race, we are to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. That's the main word of these three verses. Pressing toward the mark. What the Apostle Paul says here in these few verses arises out of what he was speaking of in the previous context. In the previous context, he glories in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He counts all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, his Lord. And he goes on and he says that he might know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, if he might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul wanted to know intimately the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of that resurrection so that one day he might attain to the resurrection of the dead, that final end of the believer's hope and salvation. And after he says that, he gets to verse 12 and he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He had not yet received it. And that's what leads him to say what he does in our verses, culminating in the main idea, which is that in light of not yet attaining, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so we take as our theme of the sermon this morning, pressing toward the mark. Let's see the prize. Let's see in the second place the pursuit. And then in the third place, the possibility. Every race has a finish line. And at the end of that finish line, the victor receives a prize. And so that's where we start this morning, briefly describing the prize as it's set forth in the text. Paul speaks of that. He says at the end of verse 12, or 13, rather 14, the main verse of the text, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's go through the different elements of that. He speaks of the mark. The mark, very simply, is the finish line. The goal, the end of the race. At that mark, there is a prize. Paul was well familiar with the ancient Olympic Games in which there was races. The one who was the victor in those races received a prize. a crown or a garland and honor from those who observed the rays. And Paul takes that idea and he applies it to the Christian's race of faith. There is a prize that awaits us upon receiving or upon getting to the end of our race, upon getting to that mark. And the prize is described in the text as the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He frames the prize in terms of the calling of God. God's calling of us is His powerful voice according to which He draws us unto Himself. God's powerful voice that leads us out of darkness in the kingdom of darkness and translates us and brings us unto Himself in light and in life. And that's described in the text as the high calling, the above calling, or the upward calling of God. And that could mean a couple of things. It could refer to the source of that calling, emphasizing that it is God who sovereignly calls us unto Himself in light and in salvation. Or it could mean that this is the end of the calling, the result of the calling. God calls us, and it is a high calling. It is an upward, literally, calling. That is to say, when God calls us, it is a calling that brings us ultimately upward to where God is in heaven itself. And that is why it is to look at the other description of it, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize is entirely because of Christ and in Christ. Those whom God calls unto Himself are those whom God in eternity elects in Jesus Christ. The basis of God calling us unto Himself, to heaven itself, is entirely the work of Jesus Christ. What right do we have to be brought up to where God Himself is in heaven as those who are guilty sinners? But in Christ, and on the basis of His work, that is the prize that we receive. And ultimately, where is this prize and who is where this prize is? It's Christ Himself. God calls us unto Himself in heaven itself where Jesus Christ is, from beginning to end. It is the high calling of God that is in Christ Jesus. The end of our race is the end of our life, at which time we will receive a prize, the greatest prize one could ever receive. The prize is that we will go to God in heaven. And we will see and we will be with God in the face of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And ultimately, live with Him face to face in the resurrected body in the heaven and earth that Jesus Christ will make new when He returns again. That's what we have coming for us. At the end of our race as we are running it here on this earth. Now Paul says with respect to this prize that he has a certain mindset. And the mindset that he has is that he has not yet attained the prize. Notice that at the beginning of verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." When you're running a race, you have to have a certain mindset. Every runner knows that. That your legs may be well conditioned, your heart may be well conditioned, your lungs may be strong, You may have put all of the training in, but when you go to run a race, if your mind isn't in the right place, things aren't going to go well. And that's true for the Christian too. We have to have the right mindset when it comes to running the race of faith. And Paul speaks of that when he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. Count, I reckon. As I think about this very carefully, this is the conclusion I come to. I have not yet apprehended. That is, I have not yet laid a hold of what he spoke of earlier, perfection in the resurrection of the body, and now what he speaks of in verse 14, the prize that's coming at the end of our race of faith. That's his mindset as it pertains to the prize itself. I have not yet laid a hold of it. I wasn't aware of this before I came this morning and looked at the bulletin regarding the sermon that was preached last night. But the language of the theme of the sermon last night is the language that I was going to talk about very briefly right now in the sermon. The language of already, but not yet, as it applies to our lives as believers. There is something that is already true for us, but yet there is something that is not yet true for us. Already, today, we have Christ. Today, we are righteous in Christ. Today, we have fellowship with God. Today, we have the blessings of salvation. That is all true. It's real. It's certain. We have salvation. That's already true for us right now. But there is an element that is not yet. There is more to come. There's a greater reality in the future. There's the culmination of our life and salvation in heaven and in the new creation with resurrected body. And what Paul is saying here is as he thinks about his race of faith, the mindset that he has is not yet. More to come. Greater reality. Prize at the end. And beloved, understand why that's so important. It's that mindset of I count myself not to have apprehended that drives him forward to do what he says in our text. Press toward that mark. To receive the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If that's the mindset, I have not apprehended. It's that very mindset that leads him to press toward that mark. And so understanding the prize, Paul says that. He says, I press toward. And that's the pursuit. The main point is Paul saying, I press toward the mark. And that is the main point is evident from how the text builds up to that point in verse 14. It's all driving toward, I press toward the mark. And from the fact that in verse 12, which introduces this section, he says, but I follow after that I may apprehend and what he says thereafter. And that word follow after is the same word as press toward in verse 14. This is the main point of the apostle. He knows the prize that is at the end, the mark, and he says, now I follow after, I press toward that mark. It's a very strong word. And what Paul is doing here is guarding against any passivity in the life of the believer. We cannot go forth in 2020 as we begin this year as passive, inactive Christians. That doesn't harmonize with the Word of God here in this text. The Word of God in this text is, I press toward that mark. That's a very active reality. And the Word itself and the figure that is used in the text emphasize that. The word itself actually in many places in the New Testament is translated as persecute. That's the idea of the text. Zealous, active, vigorous pursuit. That's why it's often translated as persecute. Now think about that. Think about the idea of persecution. How does the devil go about persecuting the church? Is there anything passive about the work of the devil in persecuting the church? Does he fold his arms, sit back and say, I'll get to it when I can. If it comes before me, then I'll pounce on a Christian trying to affect them in their lives and draw them away from God. And the answer to that, of course, is no. The way in which the devil persecutes the church is very zealous, active, vigorous pursuit trying to destroy the church. And the only reason I bring that up is because that idea is that which must be true of us in our Christian race of faith. It's not a sitting back passively, but it's an active, zealous, vigorous pursuit of the prize that awaits us at the end of running our race. So the word itself emphasizes that, but also the figure in which it's used. And the figure in which it's used is that of running a race. And we can all picture that in our minds this morning. We can picture in our minds someone who's not loafing down a course, but someone who sees that finish line and he or she is running vigorously and actively to get to the mark or the goal at the end. That's the Christians running the race of faith. Now, what that looks like is described for us in the previous verse. Verse 13 explains for us what it means and what it looks like to press toward the mark. Notice that in verse 13. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. This one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, reaching forth for the things which are before, I press toward the mark. In other words, by forgetting, by reaching forth and doing this one thing, that is the pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. So let's see those three elements of pressing toward that mark. Three words that start with the letter F. The first is forget. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. The figure of running a race applies well here. When you're running a race, to run that race effectively, you don't dwell upon what is past, behind you. And you certainly don't look behind you. If you want to run to the back of church as fast as you can and as effectively as you can, you don't look this way. You'd veer off to the side and you'd be slowed down because you're trying to look behind you. The figure makes this very clear. And that's true in our spiritual race of faith too, that we forget those things which are behind, the things of the past. Now this needs to be harmonized with the rest of God's Word, because the Word of God repeatedly speaks of remembering the past, remembering the things which are behind. And so we have to face the question of how is this to be understood? On the one hand, we have Paul here saying, forget those things which are behind, the things of the past. And on the other hand, you have scriptures that speak of remembering the past. Well, we have to understand this properly. And what it does not mean is that we have minds like a computer in which the hard drive is wiped away. What we don't say is, okay, we're at the beginning of 2020 this morning, and what that means is we wipe away the hard drive of 2019 so that it never comes before our minds and we altogether forget it. That's not the idea of the Word of God. What Paul is making clear here is that there is a proper way and an improper way to think about the past. And there's a proper way and an improper way to forget the past, the things which are behind. As we think about the past, as we dwell on the past, we have to do so in the right way. A way that propels us forward in pressing toward the mark. To explain this, let's think about the Apostle Paul personally. He's writing this epistle toward the end of his life. He's in prison in Rome. Doesn't know what the future holds for him. But that's his current circumstance. Think about how the devil would work very, very hard to affect Paul in the running of his race as it related to his past. To get Paul to dwell on his past improperly such that it affects him negatively in his walk with God. And this is true on both ends of the spectrum. Think about on one end of the spectrum, Paul's life prior to his conversion on the Damascus Road. You can imagine how the devil would work on Paul with respect to that part of his life. Who do you think you are, Paul? You're talking about a prize, heaven, glory, life with God. Look at who you were. Persecutor of the church, denier of Jesus Christ. You think you are going to one day receive that prize? And you can imagine if Paul were to dwell on his life prior to his conversion on the Damascus Road, the effect of that would be hopelessness and despair. If he thought about that past improperly, it would affect him negatively in pressing forward toward that mark. And the idea is not that he altogether forgets pre-Damascus Road. The idea is you need to forget about that in a certain sense. And if you do think about that time, the first thought that needs to come to mind is God. Who He is and what He did. Yes, devil, that's all true. But I have Christ. And the moment I think about the past, and the moment I think about that life prior to the Damascus Road, I see my Savior. Then, that doesn't lead him to be hindered in his running, but then that leads him to be propelled in his running to press all the more toward the mark. That's one end of the spectrum. Then go to the other end of the spectrum and you can see how the devil, okay, that didn't get anywhere. Let's go to this end. Post-Damascus Road. You're quite the guy, Paul. Greatest apostle the church has ever had. Greatest preacher of the gospel the church has ever seen. How many churches have you established? How many people have come to faith through your teaching and preaching? All at great cost and suffering. Wow, Paul. Quite the guy. And if Paul dwelled on that improperly regarding his past, whereas over here, improper dwelling on the past leads to hopelessness and despair. Over here, improper dwelling on the past leads to pride and haughtiness. Both of which equally affect us in the running of our race. And so again, what I said over here is just as true over here. When you do think about the past, even in this end of the spectrum, first thought, God. Yes, it's true. He was an apostle. Yes, it's true. He did do that at great cost and suffering and selflessness. But that's all God's work. God's work of grace to take a mere human instrument and use it for the good of His church. There's a proper way in which we need to forget the things of the past, and there's an improper way. And as we begin another year, we all have that looking back. It's one of the very hard things in life. And we all can look back and we can see the sins that we've walked in. We can see the effect of those sins. We can think about those times when we were not walking with God like we're called to walk with God. If we dwell on those things of the past in the wrong way, it leads to hopelessness and despair. And so any thought of the past, when the devil tempts us to dwell on the sins of the past and the effects of those sins of the past, first thought, people of God, first thought, Christ. Righteous in Christ. That's not my identity, those sins. My identity is in Jesus Christ, washed clean by the blood of my Savior. And by the grace of God, we have this over here too, because God not only justifies, but He sanctifies. And God does work in us so that we do serve Him in our life, so that we can look to the past and have this end of the spectrum and the same thing, not to lead us to haughtiness and despair, but to lead us to see the work of God by His grace in us. We forget those things of the past. That is, we don't dwell wrongly on the things of the past. That's the first F, forget. The second F is forward. Paul says in verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Pressing toward the mark is all about being forward. Forward thinking. Forward moving. And it's described in the text as reaching forth for the things which are before. We reach forth for the things which are before by setting our minds on the things which are before. That's where it starts. Setting our mind and our heart on that prize which is to come. This is what needs to characterize us in 2020. We are a people that set our mind and heart upon that which is to come. This is why every Sunday, 2020, we're going to be here in God's house according to His will, because we need to set our minds upon God Himself and what is to come for us because of the gospel. This is why we're going to be a people in 2020 who immerse ourselves in the Word of God, so that constantly and continually in our lives we are being lifted up in our minds and hearts above the things of this earth, to God Himself in heaven. A people of prayer. Because in the times of prayer, we're brought into the very throne room of God Himself. People who love to talk about the things of God and His kingdom. We set our minds as those who are risen with Christ upon the things which are above. Because our conversation, as the end of the chapter talks about, is in heaven. Reaching forth for those things which are before, setting our minds on those things and longing for those things. That's the idea of the figure. Reaching forth. You want it. You desire it. You long to get the prize that awaits at the end of the race. And that's the perspective of the Christian. We can't wait. We can't wait to have the fullness of our life and salvation as it is in Jesus Christ. And so we have a true Christian hope and longing for what is to come for us. For to live is Christ, Paul says earlier in Philippians, but to die is gain. Because to die is to be then face to face with Jesus. We long for that prize to come. We set our minds on that and we long for that by all our life, looking to, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what keeps our minds on it. It's what leads us and guides us in our hope of it. Constantly looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, setting our hope and trust in Him, and living the life of faith in our Savior. He, after all, is the prize. It's because of Him that we have the prize, but He is the prize itself, to be with God in the face of Christ. And so to reach forward is with believing hearts and eyes, setting them on, day by day, our Lord Jesus Christ. Forget, forward, and focus. Paul says in the text, this one thing I do. Forgetting, forward, pressing toward that mark. This leads us to face the question very briefly. What is the focus of our lives going to be in 2020? What's it all about? If someone were to follow you throughout 2020 and you get to the end of the year, December 31 at the end of this year, and you ask them, tell me what this person's life was about. In terms of a race, what type of race was this man or woman running? May it not be the case that you get to the end of the year and someone says about you, this man's life was all about money. This man's life was all about business. The moment he woke up to the moment he went to bed, it was all about making as much as he could and having as much as he could and experiencing as much as he could. Singularly focused on that. And you could give all sorts of other examples to the negative. Yes, we need to live our lives in 2020. We have to go to work. We have to go to school. We have all sorts of responsibilities as we're called to in our life here below. But may it be the case that the thread that unites every single one of them is this. The thread that unites every single one of them is the Christian's race of faith. I go to work as a believer for my God out of thankfulness for Jesus Christ, faithful in my witness. I raise my family for my God out of faith in Jesus Christ to the glory of His name. All of my entertainment that I will engage in this year is done with an eye on being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing the prize that is to come. The thread that unites it all is I am, by the grace of God, the recipient of the greatest gift of salvation with the greatest prize to come. And so in all of my life, I run as a believer with my eye on Christ and for Christ, with the hope of receiving the prize at the end. And the possibility of our doing this is what Paul says at the end of verse 12. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That's the possibility. If I may apprehend, if I may lay a hold of that which I am apprehended of by Christ Jesus. What Paul is saying there is that Christ laid a hold of him. Christ apprehended him. And because Christ apprehended him, the truth for the Apostle Paul is that one day he would apprehend and lay hold of the final prize to come at the end of the race of faith. That's the possibility. The possibility of all of this is that God said with respect to the Apostle Paul, "Mine, mine, mine," on that Damascus road. "You're not the devil's. You're not your own. You are mine, laid a hold of by the Lord Jesus Christ sovereignly and savingly." And because Christ said, "Mine," to the Apostle Paul, he was given the gift of faith and life and salvation such that he pressed toward that mark so that one day, because he was laid a hold of by Paul, by Christ, he would receive the prize which is altogether in Jesus. That's your possibility and mine of pressing toward that mark and one day receiving that prize, not because of you and not because of me in and of ourselves, because Christ has laid a hold of us. Christ has said to us, "You are mine." And because you are mine, you will press forward and one day receive the prize. People of God, in 2020, run your race. Right now, today, January 1, 2020, press toward the mark. Because we don't know when the end will be. That's where the figure breaks down entirely. You start the beginning of a marathon, you know 26.2 miles away is the finish line. But nobody here knows when the finish line is. We can't say, August 22, 2042, that's my finish line. The finish line may be on the way home from church this morning, according to the will of God. And so the word of God to us this morning is, press toward the mark. Not later. Today. Forget those things which are behind. Reach forth with a longing, believing heart for the things which are before. And have this as your focus. This is what your life is all about. The Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Him we have the prize, and for Him we run the race. May God so empower us by His Spirit to press toward the mark in 2020. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we're thankful to Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that we might press toward the mark to receive that prize one day in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless Thy word as it was preached this morning. And go with us now in the remainder of this day and year. For Jesus' sake. Amen.